184, and it's line number 156.
Okay, found it. Okay, so we want to start at the back and go forward, or we want to start at the beginning and go like normal?
Like normal.
Who cares? Yeah, easier to remember.
It is easier to remember, but I just didn't want Andrew to always feel like he was on the spot.
No. I chose my A name.
A?
I always get to be first. Until we get an Adam or an Aaron, I'll always be firstest, or an Alan.
All right. So.
Okay, so, and am I starting?
Yes, you are starting.
Okay. Incidentally, you know, I don't know if any of you guys read ahead on some of this stuff. I don't know where Roger was in mind when he wrote the following pages, but Jesus Christ, it is just like the most, for me anyway, insightful stuff I've read in ages.
I got really excited reading this.
I told you that, Andrew. I told you as we got into I that you would get that way.
Well, what's interesting to me is we ended last Monday night here, which is exactly where we ended the gathering in July. So, like, for months, this hasn't really been part of my universe, and now it's just like, how did he even think of this stuff? Okay. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. And
yeah,
otherness of you.
Too, I agree with you.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Yeah, well, I'd be interested to hear anybody's thoughts on any of the following, especially in the pages ahead.
You will.
Okay. 156. An otherness of you. 156. Is there an otherness of you? Separate from the real of existence you identify so thoroughly with, and painfully identify with, we might add. If so, must you be one or the other of those selves? Can you not be both and live both? Okay, anybody want to comment on anything in there? Because it really starts there.
Yeah, you can be both.
It's a staging statement.
Yep.
It says, okay, are you guys willing to consider this? Is there an otherness of you? And are you prepared to take a look at this, and can you live it? Both.
Pat?
Right.
I barely can hear you.
Oh, really? Okay. I think it's a staging statement that sets the whole thing up and says, are you willing to consider that there is this otherness of you, other than this daily body life that you live? And can you live both? Are you prepared to do that? I think that's the challenge. Are you prepared to do that?
Okay.
When I first read it, I was very confused, but then I kept reading.
Okay, that's a great point right there, Sharon. To me, there's two primary things in this short statement. I know we've been over these for a long time. But otherness of you. The otherness, I mean, you guys talk to me about this, how you see it, but otherness is kind of like a, to me, it's referring not to a thing specific like, oh, you're a spirit or something like that. Otherness is almost more like a probability or a property or an essence, not limited to a language thing.
Yeah,
it's sort of what we read before, Andrew. Could it be that the otherness is a condition?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. A condition. That's the word I'm looking for. But this first, if you really image that, I think, as a condition instead of a thing, it takes you to other possibilities that we're not normally taught to think about. And the second thing is...
It is a condition of you.
Okay. And the second thing is allowing your mind to consider both instead of one or the other. Those two things right there start changing. If you will think that way, it starts changing the way you experience, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay. Who's after Andrew?
Karen.
Misty always has to be second.
No, Karen.
I'm here.
Oh, Karen, yeah. Oh, Karen has to be second. Sorry about that.
Is there another way than living dualities by the judgment of right-wrong? In living right-wrong in communion, book 7, can you not live as you truly desire? Are you living as you truly desire? Is it really wrong to live as you truly desire? By your own authority, book 33, and declaration, book 5, isn't that preferable to judging, book 35, all things good or evil, and struggling endlessly to avoid evil and live righteously, or feeling guilty for doing something wrong?
So that's the second situation he sets up. That after the first staging, and this is okay, now you turn to dualities, and must you do that? Must you see them as right wrongs? And it's really clear to me that it's the last couple of statements, struggling endlessly to avoid evil and living righteously, or feeling guilty for doing something wrong. Whatever else goes down with judgment, the experience that judgment in duality inevitably ends up that experience. Feeling like trying to avoid evil and trying very hard to be righteous, or feeling guilty that something might have been wrong. That ends up being life experience if you're doing duality.
And live as you truly desire is the third option.
Yeah. And he's saying, is that really wrong? Is it really okay to do that? Of course it is.
Sure.
But not if you're raised with religious beliefs.
No. There's that earlier section about God, and if you've got God, you've got nothing.
Right.
Okay, anybody else got anything to say on that one? Okay, you don't have to read the parens with the book numbers in them. They can just skip past those.
Okay.
Because I haven't written books yet, so it's really not helpful. Okay. 158. Somewhere in your mind lies a neglected and long forgotten eternal self and light, a creation not spoken of by ancient teachings, religions, or schools of philosophy, nor by science, not even by you. I know this self and life exists for me in a desirable place and time because I have been there, and I know that a similar self and place exists for you because it must exist.
That's
really exciting.
It was about place. What do you think he's talking about in terms of place?
Other than here.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, some people talk...
Other than this... Oh.
Yeah, some people talk about levels of existence, frequencies of existence, dimensions of existence... We don't really know which of those is going on. We just know that it's other than this frequency at this physicalness here. Now, it could be right here where we are, but not in the same frequency or the physicalness that we are. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Absolutely. I believe that to be true.
Okay, but then how would any of us visit that?
Well, I think you must do it the same way that he did. He took himself by pulling his mind to that.
Open to it being possible.
Well, that's the first step. And then you have to just, you know, it's imagination is what he's talking about. And in imagination, then you pose the question or pose the place or pose the thought. And then you allow yourself to relax to that and go there.
It's an interesting question Patrick asked, because when I read this, I associated immediately to the Parthenon and his first journey there with Mattathiah.
I think that's pretty much what he's talking about.
Yeah, and that's where I went too, that especially his exchange with Mattathiah.
Yeah. Because to me, if he hit, and I know that this is for so many audiences, you don't know, but for those of us who've been around, if we assume that's what he means, then I think it makes it easier for us to say, okay, I'll try that. I know how to do that, or have an idea again about how to do that.
Is that an image that
But just because the words we used earlier in talking about this, a dimension or a place in time, I think some people might actually be looking for, and I'm not saying they can't experience it, but a some other dimensionality.
Well, you have to sit there and go, if somebody really believes that, could they not take themselves there? If you can think of it, isn't it possible?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a, for sure, it's not a limiting, I don't mean that as a limiting comment. It was just, for those of us who are trying to figure out sometimes what he means, think it's simpler than we think.
Yeah, I think it's too that, Andrew, you keep on bringing up the point, and I think it's very desirable to bring it up, that if you got the history, 20-some-odd years, we can make some leaps of what he's talking about, but when we're talking to new people, they don't have the history. And I want to take care about how to explain this to people. And I'm referring back now to the first statement. Somewhere in your mind lies a neglected and long forgotten eternal self and life. It's there, but it's been forgotten, ignored. And he's saying, go to it. It's there. Bring it forth. It's there.
You have all the knowledge from that.
All the statements being made about if you open yourself to it and all that kind of stuff, that's important. If you're resistant, you can say, well, I can't see you, well, you're going to have a problem. But if can say this is who you are and always have been, bring it forth. Summon it forth and experience it. Andrew, after I read this, I was just almost shaken about what that must be like. And I talked a bit about it last week, about this experiencing living in the physical world, the body world, and the eternal self world simultaneously. And we talked about that a bit, and what I was looking for, the experience of doing that. And reading this material says it's sure, there it is. It is, and he says, I know that a similar self and place exists for you, because it must exist. And it goes, wowee, that's true. Holy crow.
I count on this other side to get a lot of information. Yeah. But I got so excited when I realized it was for me.
That's neat.
And I do believe that it's specifically for you. Each one of us has a specific. That is us.
And to me, that was just so exciting to read this and go, oh my God, that's what that is.
See, that's, Sharon, what you guys are circling around right now is that was my one issue of the last, they became really, the volume on this one turned up really high for me in the last two to three years. But it was just that, great, I just wanted to know sometimes what he's talking about for sure, so we can, you know, also follow along in these experiences and have a an enriching discussion.
I think,
well, he can't tell you in that sense, because if he told you, it might not be that for you. It's going to be something
correct
for you, but he says that we all have it.
Well, correct, but unless, I guess what I'm saying is, for me as a beginner who doesn't know, I mean, these are all, you know, pronoun words, unless I know what he's talking about, it helps a damn lot, like that old thing we used to talk about, make it up and make it real. You can't make up anything outside of yourself. So it's okay to start there.
Actually, you make
imaginative
your whole world.
Minding. Yeah, it is, but, you know, from my pathway with this stuff, that took some getting around to be comfortable with.
Yeah. So test it. Test yourself and see where the boundaries of this other space might be for you. I mean, maybe it's in your dream world. Maybe it's something else. But there's going to be an area where you have that knowingness of, oh my gosh, this is outside of me, but this is direct for me.
Okay.
And it's this other, you already do it. You already do it.
I'll admit that I'm more comfortable with this than the average person. My interest and my concern is bringing others along so they can feel, aha, I can do this too.
Well, the thing that I often wonder about is, how do we start somebody in this stuff? Now, I've thought about that a number of times. I don't know where to
start. Where they are.
That's a whole other discussion. I dug up the Wondrous Way the other day just for interest sake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long time ago that was written. And I look at it, and I don't think I'd offer that to people today as a beginning thing. Some elements of it, yes. But yeah, that's on my mind a bunch too, Mystic.
Well, I think after we...
Well, Pat, if that's... Go ahead.
I think that after we finish going through this book, that maybe we should sit down, you know, talk together on Monday nights and say, how can we do this? Where do we start somebody new? I mean, because you can't just go, well, it depends on where they are. No, you really have to have a general something that you can hand out and say, here, this is what we're talking about.
And it's probably not throw your religion away.
Well, it may be. Or at least open your mind to that there's something else other than what you've been taught all your lives.
Well, maybe we can figure out a set of questions that lead them to thinking about...
Hello?
Yeah?
Hey, I had this lady I was talking to, and... And I just really quickly, you know, said, well, just tell me something you're really proud of, and maybe we can help you figure out a declaration. You can simplify your life if you live by that. And she came back and she said she was really proud of herself when she left, like, Florida and went to California to live the life that she desired. And I said, oh, you hit it right on the head. I said, taking that, I take it that your life would be, you know, like defined, you could declare if you showed others to that same thing, showed others to the life they desire. And I think basically that's all, in one way or another, that's all we do. So we can just give them the declaration to show others to the life that they desire, and in that, find the life that they desire, maybe.
Yeah, well, that could be a beginning
kind of
thing, but that's
simple.
Just one of the things, because once you're there, then there's a whole bunch more to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
if you just give them that declaration, and then just keep asking them, like, what did you do today to show somebody the life that they desire, and just make them think about it, and then over and over, like, did you do it when you went, you know, washed your car, you know, whatever, did you? You know, do it, you know, based on showing others that the life that they desired, you know, and just keep working them on that.
I absolutely had no idea what Roger was talking about, but I knew I needed to know what he was talking about, though. So I think some of us have very deep-rooted attachments to our old belief system.
I think all of us have
deep-rooted. Our what system?
Our old belief system.
Oh.
Yeah, now
that's hardwired somehow.
But, you know, Sharon, there's I'm just going to put this out there. I mean, having done groups, you know, with Roger listening in for a number of years, it may very well be in your best interest to put a carpet bomb out there right away if it's like, because I've had people absolutely not going to give up their traditional beliefs and the cherished wisdom of ages, and it is not worth trying to slug through the muck and mire with them on that. Weed them out immediately and get on.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, you know, you offer what you can for as long as they want to stick around, but, you know, I actually ended up terminating my last group because I could not get past this one lady fighting everything I said, and I'm just like, you know, fuck it then. This isn't worth it. If you guys don't want to go anywhere, then I'm done.
Right. Well, that was an opportunity right there.
Yeah, I used that opportunity to the extent that I wanted to, and when I was finished, then it's just worth that much.
Okay, so anyway, we will get into this after we get through the book. But meanwhile, why don't we bring ourselves back to the book for now? Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I think we should read it again right away. What we comprehended.
Well, who's next?
That would be, you.
Oh, okay. This is 159. This is not a self in life that will normally reveal itself. You must summon that self and world to you, or summon yourself to that time and place. When you do that, the experience will completely transform your life and who you think you are. Bingo. Absolutely.
I'm going to say not absolutely.
Why? What do you mean?
Only because I don't disagree with what's said. I absolutely love the fact that he's explaining, laying it out there, that you got to summon yourself. This is not something you can wait around, you know, like with your mouth open and hope a roast duck dinner flies in.
No, that
you
doesn't
summon
happen.
Yourself to it. You're actively involved. The part that I'm just saying, maybe not so much, is I've had people come out of, like, things like a regression where they take a first step into this, a world of their own, you know, generated expression, and they come right out and they say, I feel like I just made it all up. So, you know, yes, I agree with everything said, except I'm going to add my personal notes on this is that it doesn't necessarily, that experience, completely transform your life and who you think you are.
No.
I mean, unless you're willing to say, oh, that's what it was.
They're still battling their belief system.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
If they are not willing, I had clients who came for picking.
What?
And they like to tell me what I have to do. And I said, this is what I can offer you. If you don't want that, that's not a place for you. I mean, they find me. I do not advertise sometimes much. Actually, I have my website and the rest I skipped. But they do find me, and this is my place and my offering, and I do it the way I do it. And if they are not willing, that's not a place to be. Maybe at this moment, maybe they come back later. They are always welcome.
My bingo was referencing what's available to the half dozen or so that are on the phone right now. Not Ruby. This is what's available to us right now. We've got 20 years experience, some of us plus, and I understand that communioning like he's suggesting we can will completely transform my life. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever.
That's what I think, too, yeah.
All right, thanks for clarifying that, Pat. I wasn't sure.
When we speak to others, yes, it's a bit of a challenge, but what I think, I'd like us to focus on us experienced people, but what we're getting out of this.
All right.
And we are doing it for us self first.
Yes.
Yeah, because otherwise we're just pushing something on somebody else that if we've got to see how this is, and then people will be intrigued.
Well, if just we can live it, people will see it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Just like, I was intrigued by what Roger had to say. He didn't personally, I didn't get phone calls saying, you got to come to my class.
Oh, you missed those calls, did you?
Yeah. But I was there.
Sleeping, though, a lot of times.
Yeah.
All right, well, good that you clarified your context, Patrick. Thank you.
Okay, so we're on to Sharon.
Me. Yeah. 160. This self in life is always with me and frequently abides openly in everything I do. Yet, at other times, I do not summon this otherness and abide in that self and place. I let it slip away.
Yeah, I can see that.
You have a question, Simone?
I was looking up abide, and frequently abides openly. It doesn't stay with me sometimes.
You want
to get it right?
It doesn't stay with me. Frequently abides openly means that it's there a lot with you, and actively in his life.
It stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like living with you.
Yeah.
It frequently lives openly in everything I do.
Okay.
It's just like if you look at his writings, you see it abiding with him. When he's talking with people, you could see it abiding with him. Now, there were other times when it didn't abide with him at all.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Simone, you're on.
It's my turn. Okay. 161. Religion has tried to trying this world a life as paradise or heaven, or as the kingdom of God. But I know this is not a simple place for everyone.
Single.
It is a different self and life, a different time and place for each person. However, though different for each person, this otherness world is not within each person. It is all around everyone. Just as cell phone calls and text messages are all around. Have you answered your call or message and summoned your time and place to you? Or will you let it be neglected and forgotten and even denied again? That's what we said before. I think the place is for each person individual, and each person has to summon forth it for herself.
Yep.
Or not.
Or not, yeah.
No. Or not, yeah.
And when I read that, will you let it be neglected and forgotten or even denied again, I feel a little on the guilty side.
I think that if you ask any one of us, we would say the same thing. We get all caught up in the daily life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there it is, actually. It's all around everyone.
Well, see, that's an interesting observation, because I personally don't experience it that way. It's not wrong. I'm just saying he gets into that a little bit later in a way I think is very helpful. I do like, though, that he says it's different for a different time and place for everyone. That's a great big clue.
Yep. Okay, so, Susan, are you capable of reading tonight?
I'm here.
Can you read?
Yeah, I just have to shuffle here a little bit. I'm almost there. Off my glasses. All right.
Don't drop anything.
163.
162.
Is it possible? 162. Do you have a purpose and destiny in life? Do you believe there is something you are to do or a position you are to attain to? Something you are to create and offer to others? Or is it possible there is a self in life you are to summon forth? So you can constantly live in communion with that otherness.
What do you guys think?
Well, it comes
I don't know,
back.
Like...
Go ahead.
Like, for me, like, I attained to being a broker, right? I don't even want to sell, I don't want to be... perform as a broker. I just wanted to get to be a broker. I just want to be a broker. I don't necessarily, but I could have, I don't know if I could have summoned that forth or worked to, you know, attain it.
But I don't think that that's really the type of purpose that he's speaking of. He's speaking of a life purpose.
I know for me, when it came time, I knew that being a nurse was not where I was supposed to be. And I knew that I just needed to go and be in the classroom again and become a physician, because I knew that my limitation was the belief of society that girls were nurses and men were doctors. And I even fell into that. But I realized I was in the wrong place, and I never had any doubt in my mind that I would end up finishing medical school.
But I do, I again,
you don't think that has anything?
No, I'm not saying that. I again don't think that that is your purpose. That may be your expression of your purpose, but I don't believe
that's
your purpose.
And that's just a stair step. That's just a stair step. No, that's only pieces of me. And that purpose is still evolving for me, because I wasn't even aware of all this stuff.
Well, you know, just like...
So that's still not a purpose. No, what I'm saying is that I'm the purpose.
Like when you were a kid,
When
you were a kid, didn't you think, boy, I came here to really do something. I know that I'm here.
No.
For, you never did.
No, I was in survival.
Yeah, well.
As a child, I was in survival.
And you don't think that now you can feel that you came here with a purpose?
You know, actually, I'm kind of tired of pushing myself. I'm really pretty okay with where I am right now. And
no, a purpose has nothing to do with pushing yourself.
Yeah, I probably do, but I don't want to admit it, all right? Because I'm kind of tired and I want to rest a little bit.
Well, I can understand that one.
But you think big, Sharon. I mean...
Yeah.
big thoughts about even about little things. It doesn't matter if it's a little thing or a big thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
This is a difficult thing, Misty, that people, it's easy to fall into, what is it am I supposed to do?
Right.
As in, you know, the, my job, painter, doctor, lawyer, fisherman. And it's, I've spent a lot of time trying to get straight on this. And I've come right clearly back to Gabriel, the messenger and the message. And that's just so fundamental to me that that drives everything that I'm doing. It's the way I do my consulting business. It's the way I do politics. It's the way I do everything. It's in there. I'm the, not only a messenger, but I'm the message itself, and it's become vitally important to me that I live the message, and living the message that I am the message. And it's so it's that kind of thing. It doesn't matter whether I'm consulting or working in the yard or whatever. There is that common thread.
It's
I am, in fact,
that
message.
Thing behind message. Everything that you do.
There should be clues in that, like if Sharon spends all that time to become a doctor, there must be a clue in there.
Oh, sure. Right? But I've listened to her do her Skyping thing or whatever, however the mechanism or technology is. That Susan, everything, every time I see Susan and talk to Susan, Susan is offering to people. She's counseling. She's asking questions. She's supplying information. She's giving of her knowledge. That's what she's doing. I see that going on all the bloody time with Susan. She happens to be doing it.
Wait,
now.
Sharon or Susan?
Sharon. He means Sharon.
I'm sorry,
it
Sharon.
Sounds good,
I'm
though. It felt good, though, anyway.
Well, it's true for both of you, actually.
Yeah, you are, too. That's the thing.
That's absolutely correct. Susan is expressing as a broker right now, but she's in service to these people, providing support and information and guiding them through these important decisions in their lives. All those things. So that there's the clue as to what you're about.
Yeah, but plus every time Susan meets somebody, she asks them questions, just like she expressed earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and that's where I'm just starting to see how I fit in this process of helping to reveal to others who they are.
Yeah.
But
it's
still new to me.
Mm-hmm. But you see that Roger for years wanted us to declare an emprise. And without that focus, we default to our body life, and that's where our attention is.
Yeah.
In the absence of having a sense of our overall purpose or emprise, we default that plain ordinary, earn a buck, pay the mortgage, and then if I got time left, I'll do something else.
Yeah. Read the next.
Okay, I think we're back to Andrew.
We're back to Andrew.
Okay.
What is that, 163?
Yes.
I like the following them. Incidentally, Pat, I think you're pretty on to something there with how you're seeing all that. 163,
yeah.
Is it possible you are to summon that self to abide with you at all times, and that the greatest and finest purpose and destiny, and that is the greatest, finest purpose and destiny for you. If so, do not struggle to discover what you will do in communion. Form the relationship, and the rest will become clear. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting the way Roger's phrasing this. I actually have trouble deciding these days between about three or four different ways of trying to express my idea of what life is about. And this is one of them. Can't quite get completely around it, but this is definitely one of them.
Okay.
Isn't it true, though, that we're doing our purpose regardless, whether
yep.
we realize it or not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when we summon it, or, you know, is it possible that you are to summon that self to abide with you at all times? Is that really... is that really bringing something to me, or is it just becoming aware of it, becoming enlivening it by acknowledging it?
I think it's enlivening it and expanding it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, the old saying that I said, you know, about you can cut a field of grass with a pair of scissors, or you can go out and get this big freaking tractor pulling this device that cuts it in no time. They're still
yeah.
doing the same thing. Just one is doing it so much more so than the other.
Yeah.
So people that aren't summoning it to themselves, they aren't enlivening it. It's there, but they aren't enlivening it to really fully be a part of their lives.
Right. Is that forming the relationship, enlivening it?
It does help form the relationship.
How do you form the relationship?
How do you form it? By summoning it to you and expanding it. You come into communion with it. You make that purpose about who you are. Then you're in relationship with that purposing.
Okay. All right, I like that.
I mean, you know, to a certain extent, Sharon, I think you decide what your life's about, and then you, everything all day long, you consider it from that point of view.
You act on it.
And you recognize that you're the person living. You are that. You are the person being and living that into the universe.
I agree.
So how do you want to live it into your universe?
Yeah.
But not only consider... acting upon.
Well, I just mean by I don't mean passive consideration. I mean consider means like if this comes up, instead of just reacting like your loner body emotions, which, you know, we've always thought are ours because we felt them. Man, these things aren't even us. You know, it's up to us to refine those and say, oh no, this is how I actually feel. That's a way to do it. Is this how I'd be, you know, am I willing to live that forever and ever? That's a real easy way to start doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on? Anything else on this one? Okay, we're at what?
So this is where it starts getting deep for me.
164.
Still on that one, like, what are some people in these groups, what are they summoning forth right now, you know, in their lives?
What are you summoning forth?
Huh? What are you summoning forth, Patrick, in your life? I guess you already answered, maybe.
What are you summoning forth?
Oh, me? I don't know. I'm trying to make it a doing, like, you know. Is it you create a thought and then you... you know, it's like you summon forth your declaration to become enlivened or something. I really don't, you know, have one. I think I might just take show, you know, others the life they desire, or show myself the life I desire. I guess that's... Why does it always have to be show others to their thing? Because you can't know
yourself.
That's
a way to keep it active in your life. If you try to... internalize it, you're never going to see it. It's just a easy, simple way to get it active in your life, and you stop and look back and go, oh, that's what it is.
So
well,
I guess I will just show others to the life that they desire, you know? And
well, that's a start.
Showing others by the way you're living. Because when you communion with yourself, the
I'm in a communion with the idea of showing others to the light.
It's so magical, I think, that that becomes attractive to for people to wonder what the heck is going on. So it's not like we proselytize. I think it's really, like Patrick's saying, it's about living it. So I think it's the same thing. I'm going back to the same thing.
Okay. So let's move on to 164. Find our own way.
Yeah. 164. This other self in life is not an imaginary inner world. It is a real world all around you. So the doorway to that world seems to be within you. Do not be concerned about entering this world for fear that it will take you away from yourself in life today. For it is vital that you communion with that otherness to expand and extend yourself in life and awareness today.
Man, I wish you had said that 10 years ago or so.
You too.
That just clarifies so much, and I'll tell you why. And you know, and I'm not hacking on him and stuff. I want y'all to know that. What I'm saying is there's some specific important realizations that I think, you know, are very helpful to getting people to, like you guys said earlier, to catch up and have direct experience of some of these things. This is one of them. Okay, so this self and life is not an imaginary world. It's all around you. You know, I just, that's what I said earlier, I don't experience it that way right now. It seems to be that, you know, when I close my eyes or do a dream or imagination or something like that, then I, like, wow, there it is. But I think he's right. You know, the more you live this and put it into the world, I think you will see it all around you. I don't know, I would love to know if there's a way to just look out all around you, because, you know, your beliefs determine your experiences.
Absolutely.
So I've always looked out. I always looked out, and I saw the world a certain way, and so when I read things like this, I didn't think, at least I didn't understand how that was true. But, you know, it seemed to me that a way that worked was the more I lived something, I said, okay, yeah, that's who I am, that's what I'm going to live, and I start expressing that in the world, then it's like my beliefs are, oh, that is true. And as Mike's beliefs change, then I can look out and more see that, oh, there it is. There it always was.
Yeah.
Anyway, does anybody have that experience? Because I think that's a vitally important way to get started on that.
But there's another aspect, Andrew, and it's...
Go for it.
Earlier about the frustration where people not wanting to give up what they already believe. This is...
Okay.
It's essentially saying, hey, look, you don't have... It's not an imaginary world, it's a real world all around you, and you can walk through that door, but you don't have to give up and take you away from yourself in life today. So we run across it too, Andrew, that people think that you see the resistance starting to happen. Well, I'm not sure I want to give up all this stuff I'm doing. You know, I want life to be better, but you know, I kind of like what I'm doing. And this is saying, well, you don't have to keep that up. Whatever it is you're doing, but open yourself up to this other world, and you will find yourself extending yourself in life and awareness. And you don't have to give up this other world.
Yeah, it's funny, when I read that, I took that to be a euphemism for you're not crazy. Don't worry, you're not just making it all up, you're not just crazy.
Well, that's the start of it, but it also says you don't have to give up your world, your everyday life.
Yep.
No, it doesn't.
Communion.
Anybody else?
Okay, so I'm appreciating all this talk, you guys. This is, I think, valuable for me anyway, understanding it.
Well, have you ever done a wilderness retreat?
Not exactly, but I lived on the Big Island for a while.
Yeah, there's a wilderness retreat.
Wilderness retreat, you know, those sometimes you really get in touch with yourself and the layers of yourself.
Hmm.
anyway.
Okay.
Just an idea. Just
okay.
an idea.
Yep.
Okay.
But I think
who's
you know
next?
The belief. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Am I
yep.
muted? Oh. That your beliefs have to be emergent too. You can't hang on to any belief. You can't really.
But if you keep
you know.
Putting the same constituents in, you're going to get the same emergence.
So then you, is
but
that
if you're
being,
open to receive,
but is that being emergent?
Not necessarily. Look, I'll tell you why. I mean, I don't think so. Open to receive, I mean, I
be
never did a reading where I was
self.
Open to receive. You
be
seem
open.
To get better results by giving a reading when you say, this is what it's for, this is who it's for, this is what it's about, this is the way I want it, 1, 2, 3, 4, go. So I assume
but
that life works much the same way.
Aren't you speaking
yeah,
for your
here.
Other self?
I'm sorry, I can't hear the two questions.
Aren't you speaking for your other self when you're doing that reading? Aren't you relaying the information that your other self is showing you?
Yeah. I've spent a lot of time, you know, being open to things and waiting for something to happen and nothing happened. And I've spent a lot less time saying, you know, declaring what I'm doing and then having it all kind of come right about. That's just my personal experience.
Maybe your other self is as particular. But
well,
you've got to be that specific.
Well, mm-hmm. and if we declare who we are, if you declare
mm-hmm.
your enterprise, everything coalesces around that.
Yep.
You're not open to anything particularly. That life and your experience coalesces around your declared enterprise and the actions you take. So if you're resistant to stuff, well, yeah, you're not going to experience very much. But
okay.
an essential ingredient is that declaration of who you are and your enterprise, and everything will coalesce around that.
And isn't that kind of exciting, because maybe things didn't happen for you before because you weren't really in touch with the fact that this is really you and you already have all this information. And
absolutely.
All you need to do is,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
all
exciting.
You need to do is open the door.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's really you, Andrew.
All right. Anyway, so this 164, this is a big marker for me, just because of what you guys said, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you can start with a doorway within and move it without, that seems to be a way to get there.
Yeah.
There are other ways, I'm sure.
Okay.
165.
Stop looking for an otherness or goodness or fineness to change yourself in life, to secure you and make you well and prosperous, to protect you from evil and undesirable matters in your body and life, to keep you safe in the world around you, or to offer you what you truly desire.
It will never work.
Never, ever, ever.
That's
living cause and effect through and through, and you're just looking for something that'll do it for you.
Well, isn't that what religion
yeah,
so is all based around?
You are not in charge of your life.
Yeah, this is what religion is all based around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the next one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Patrick.
Well, should I do the next one?
Sure, go for it.
166. You wanted life. You have life. And now you are destroying the body and life you have. And you want a savior to protect you from your self-created doing. Why do you suppose that is? Oh, I believe in God.
Because then I get to keep doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saved. And I'm delusional.
Okay. And
my turn.
I guess it's Sharon's turn now, right?
Yep, 167. Is it at all possible you do not know yourself? Do you not love yourself? Or do you not love yourself gloriously? And do not like yourself in accordance with self-love? Maybe because such love is universally condemned as selfish. And it is possible that this lack of self-love... And is it possible that this lack of self-love alone is the root of doing in your body and life, or sustains your doing? And is the lack of true goodness in your body and life today? Yep.
Well, I could speak for the Catholic upbringing that even though we're not really guilty, we're born with the original sin. So we're born sinners in that context. Now, how do you climb out of it and have that self-love? That's just crazy. That's insane. That kind of framework.
Well, you just got to declare that that's a bunch of garbage and then do as you truly desire.
Yeah, move on. That's sick. Self sick.
Okay, Simone.
168. If you were aware fully living and loving the communion of yourself and your otherness, do you really suppose you would judge others, act against them, and act against them and do evil, or abide in undesirable thoughts and way?
Yeah, everybody would of us would say, of course not.
No, but we tend to do this.
So do most people.
It's so familiar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's almost a comfort in that familiarity.
That's what I recently thought when I had an anger moment about my school, and then suddenly I thought, do you actually like that?
Right.
And with the thought, all was gone. That was very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I'll stop myself and say, hey, "Wait a minute, what is really going on here?" You know.
Yeah.
It's too negative.
I more often do that than earlier, and that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. After my dance with this cancer this past year, I think we cannot allow ourselves the luxury of having a negative thought about ourselves.
Absolutely.
I think it's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
So self-destructive, isn't it?
Huh?
It's so self-destructive.
Well, it certainly shows what one suggests.
Okay, so we're on to Susan. Susan, are you there?
She back?
Are you here, Susan?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, that's
169 for you.
169. All right.
Not by accident.
Can I go back to 167 for a second?
Sure.
It was stating that that all you're doing comes about because of lack of self, love of self. Is that I'm interested in all that he's doing, you know? Like, it's because of lack of, is he saying lack of love of self? We just do stuff, we just do.
Well, if you're living by default, if you're living by default, then you would be judging and acting against yourself and doing what people call evil and have undesirable thoughts and ways. But if you are living self-evidently in a way that you have brought forth this understanding in your life and you're living that way, you have none of that.
So you won't just be doing all the time.
Well, I don't understand quite what you mean by doing.
What do you, yeah?
Like just doing, I don't know, it seems like everybody is so busy and we're just doing stuff, just doing all the time.
Well, you're still
it's
going to
like,
be...
That's distraction.
You're still going to be doing things, but if you're talking about doing meaningless things or filling your life with just stuff, then my answer to you is yes, that's a problem. But there are lots of doings that are not that way. This right now is a doing. What we are doing right now is a doing.
Right,
Susan,
right.
Susan, this might be helpful. Go back to 165. And it says, stop looking for otherness or goodness or fineness to change your life, to secure you, to make you well, all this kind of stuff. What I think, what you may be referring to, is people are out there and maybe they wouldn't necessarily recognize themselves in 165, but they're distracting themselves with all they're doing. They're not happy with their lives. They don't feel fulfilled in their lives. They think something's missing in their lives. They don't feel safe. So they're always distracting themselves with doing, trying to not think about what's really going on.
Yeah, Roger used to call that busying themselves.
What?
Roger used to call it busying themselves.
Yeah, busying themselves. Uh-huh.
And so that all this doing that you're referring to is people that are trying to avoid themselves. Now, if you love yourself, why would you want to avoid yourself? And that's the question that we're asking us half a dozen or so that are on the phone right now. What do you want to do? Do you want to love yourself or distract yourself?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That was helpful. Okay, 169. If you can be inspired by love, be fair and compassionate, and do good work, can you not be inspired by the love of self? Be fair and compassionate and do good work. If not, then love cannot inspire you, and love is false. For if love inspires, it must do so no matter how it is expressed or to whom.
How did
he
ever figure these things out?
That's a big one.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Why is it cool, Andrew?
It's one of the better insights on love I've seen in a long, long time. It just, I don't know, how did he, I mean, how, he just, it's like looking at an interest, it's like looking at a really cool origami thought. It's like, how did he think to fold it that way? And I get it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How do you come to origami?
I mean, just because he's... Well, do you know what origami is?
That's the folding technique, the Japanese folding technique?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you think of love, if the concept of love is like a piece of paper here, and he folded it all the way around, you can say, you know, that if you cannot, if love cannot inspire you by loving yourself, then love is fake.
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's always been said, you know, like, oh, you know, you can't love yourself, gotta love another, can't love yourself until you love another, all that kind of stuff, and he just took that and folded it all around and showed it ain't so.
Mm.
Well, it's just that love in general, right? It can inspire whether you love yourself or others, and I think that's a much more accurate realization.
Well, it's actually saying that it's really about learning love by and being fair and compassionate, not only to others but also to yourself, and that because you do this for yourself, when you finally wake up and realize that it's the being in us that we love, we also have to recognize, we have to recognize the being in every other person, every other being. So that was so profound for me because, you know, sometimes I just want to hang on to my hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't.
I understand that.
So it's quite lightning. Anyway.
Okay, and I think we're up to Andrew 170.
Okay, so 170, your otherness, self, and life is not spiritual, it is mystical. Meaning it is derived immediately, by declaration or fiat. Just as thoughts are derived immediately, rather than being created mediately through physical forms. Being derived immediately, your otherness is not composed and will not decompose, and will therefore be with you eternally.
Wow.
I love all this.
Derived immediately by declaration.
Hmm. And the other said, it's okay.
Anybody have anything?
That didn't make sense. Huh?
Anybody else have anything to say on that one?
Thank you.
Nope.
Okay, Karen, you're on.
121. Your otherness, self, and life is a real world. Yet being derived immediately, it can exist and be lived and experienced in communion with your immediate self and life today without interference.
There is a new expression, the immediate self and life.
I'm still pondering the difference between immediate and mediate.
Well, if much as anything, it's a play on words.
It's
not a play on words. He's just being very literal with the words. Immediate means absent mediacy. I mean, it's like instant. So immediate is over time. I don't know if you guys remember this, but once at the gathering, I think Sally shared a thing that was written that's like a whole paragraph written where they took all of the words that are most commonly known in the opposite and just said them regularly, straight up. Anyway, I can't describe it, but it was pretty much like what he's doing here.
Okay.
So we live in a self... In a body self that, you know, we do things over a span of time.
One is over a span of time and one is immediate. That's what he's saying.
Uncomposed, immediate. Right. One is composed, one is not composed.
But what's really essential in 171 is that in communion, the immediate self experiences the
immediate in my life, health and life today without interference.
Yes. Okay. 172. It forms part of your awakened and enlivened, illuminated being, called resplendent, that is immediately enlivened.
Yeah.
It flows. With it, is the otherness meant, or?
Your other self in life. Your other self in life.
Your other self in life. Yes, yes. Yep. Okay. No. Mhm.
Okay, Patrick.
173. Do not forsake the world of forms, the world of cause, effect, and dualities, and of judgments and ill being. But do not limit yourself in life to this composed, immediate world. Know ever that you are living this unacknowledged, immediate otherness as well. But remember, this otherness is not a spiritual you, nor is it a separate realm or kingdom of heaven. This physical otherness is communion with you.
Yeah, the thing I can't understand about that is how Patrick got that one to read.
It was a murder.
When I read that, I heard Monday nights from years ago of, like, you know, discussions of cause and effect and stuff, and here he just laid it out to me in a way that's, like, so clear and neat. We had taken this approach about a decade ago, or probably would have had a whole different set of Monday nights.
Yeah,
or not.
But I had too much fun fighting with Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We would have missed out on all that.
Well, I think that it took him time to be able to form these sentences, these passages.
Oh, I totally gotcha. Yep.
You know, yeah. He worked hard to try to find a way to express this. I mean,
yep.
All the time.
Good.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question then,
language.
Misty.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Where's my question? Do you think that Roger would now be proud of this passage 173, or did he relinquish what he wanted to say so that he could get past all of our resistance?
No, I think that he would say he was proud.
Okay.
I think that it was more the, aha, I think I figured out how to say this, to express
okay.
What I really understand.
So do you think that he lived in a world where he was living emergent all the time, as I understood him to used to talk about it, or did he do both in communion? Cause and effect and emergent dualities and non-judgment, that kind of thing.
He did both. There's no doubt about it. But he did more.
But not did he do both one at a time. Did he do both? Did he just accept both as, like, oh, this is life? It's kind of like in communion rather than either or.
Oh, yes. Yes. As he said, we can't live without, you know, making judgments. You know, am I going to get up in the morning or aren't I? There's a judgment. Okay? So these kind of things are going to be
yep.
part of your life. And that's just okay.
Yeah.
Will there always be those that live by good and evil and right and wrong and totally in duality? Most likely.
Yeah. See, this passage here seems to be founded on something that to me has been one of the best, what you want to call it, kung fu moves that there is. As people start arguing, you know, about stuff, about the way reality is, he always would, I mean, I liked when he would say, yeah, sure, you know, that is what's happening, but that's not the only thing that's happening.
And that's an important thing to remember.
you know, because we can talk our side of the universe and somebody else argues theirs, I find it more effective to say, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, you're right. But that don't limit yourself to that that's the only thing that's happening in the universe.
Absolutely.